Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. It is a beautiful Monday afternoon here. Sadly, I know that it's not going to last very long because we're supposed to get snow the next couple days, but I guess that's also a sign that we're getting close to the end of the fantasy season. So you can't lose focus now. You got to make that final push. You got to get into the playoffs. You got to get to that fantasy championship. And always that begins every single week here by keeping up on the latest injuries, by making sure that you're targeting the top players on the waiver wire. And that's why we cover those topics on our shows on Monday. Before we get to that, though, I just want to make sure everyone knows we have a massive string of buys in week 13. There are six teams in total that are going to be off: the Ravens, the Bills, the Bears, the Raiders, the Vikings, and the Giants. So just keep that in mind when we're going through today's show. Let's start with the injury roundup, though. And we had a lot of guys that left games. Most of them managed to come back. Not all of them, unfortunately. And let's begin with the receivers, because I think that's the position where we're going to have the most impactful injuries from this week, at least for fantasy purposes. So the Saints, they lost not one, but two wideouts in this game. And that comes after they just put Michael Thomas on IR. So Chris Olave, he left with a concussion. He didn't return. And we've seen some guys come back within a week from the concussion protocol. More often than not, players tend to stay in the protocol and miss at least one game. So not sure that Olave is going to be available for next week's game. They also lost Rashid Shaheed in this one. He suffered a thigh injury, and we don't know the severity of it yet, but he's unlikely to play this week is what they're saying. And definitely possible that he could miss a couple weeks. I think right before we started recording, it popped up. I got a notification that said that Ian Rapoport was suggesting that it might be more day to day, but they're saying that he's going to miss at least 1 week here. So we're going to have to reassess as the week goes along. I don't think he's going to be available in week 13. And that means this Saints receiving core, they're down bad at the moment. They were rolling with A.T. Perry, who for sure has talent, but he's still making some rookie mistakes out there. Lynn Bowden, who has bounced around the league, he's more of like a running back slash receiver type, and his contributions in this game, they came on carries, not on catches. And then Keith Kirkwood, he's more of a journeyman. So maybe Olave's going to get cleared. Maybe Shaheed's injury isn't as serious, but right now, I'd be planning to be without both those guys in week 13. And that means that Perry's going to be a risky flex option. Bowden and Kirkwood, they're going to be pure desperation plays for fantasy. And really, Alvin Kamara is probably going to soak up a ton of targets in this offense. And the tight ends are going to be the ones who are heavily involved. So Taysom Hill, of course, this week he had 7 carries for 26 yards. He had 2 catches for 50 yards. He's going to be a top 10 tight end in week 13. But also Juwan Johnson, he had 4 for 45 on Sunday. And he also left to get checked out at 1.2. He had a helmet-to-helmet collision on what I think was a pick play. But he returned to the game, and he's going to be a streamer option in week 13. And their opponent, the Lions, they're vulnerable to tight ends, so that's another reason why you might want to target those guys. I would rather have Kamara or the Saints tight ends than be trotting out Perry or Bowden or Kirkwood in my fantasy lineup. And then Derek Carr, I mean, he becomes a lot tougher to use as a streamer. You can't really trust him because of all those receiver injuries. We also had Amari Cooper. He got crushed. He got a big shot to his ribs. It happened late in the game. I blame the throw a little bit. It was kind of high, but those Broncos defenders, right? They take shots on offensive players whenever they can. Regardless, Cooper was down in pain for a while. He left, he didn't return, and we should find out today what type of rib injury he has. If it's just a bruise, maybe he'll be able to play through it, maybe they'll be able to give him a shot, and it's kind of a pain tolerance thing. If there's anything that's damaged or a fracture in there, then we would be looking at a longer absence. So Cooper's another guy that I would prepare to be without him for week 13, and if that's the case, then Elijah Moore would become a wide receiver 4 flex option for fantasy. And Cedric Tillman, he's entering the mix as a flex here as well. He had a pretty good game this week. And then David Njoku, he would be an excellent play at tight end, a really strong volume-based tight end one again. Other receivers to note here for injuries: Cooper Kupp, he seemed to be bothered by an ankle injury. It looked like the other ankle this time, though, not the one that's kept him out before, but he was able to play through it. Something to note with him, I'm not sure that he's 100% at the moment, so kind of lowers his fantasy ceiling a bit. I'm looking at him now more as a wide receiver 2 for fantasy rather than a wide receiver 1. Demario Douglas on the Patriots, he left to get checked out for a head injury, That immediately made you worried that maybe he has another concussion, but he said after the game he didn't suffer a concussion. It was more of a neck issue, and that doesn't mean that he's out of the woods for a concussion. We've seen plenty of guys here report symptoms a day or two later, and then they get placed in the protocol, but hopefully it's just going to be a sore neck, and hopefully Douglas will be able to go in week 13. And his quarterback is likely going to be Bailey Zappe, since Mac Jones got pulled on Sunday. The frustration finally got to the point where they just yanked him out of the game. And it's not that Zappe was that much better, but he did play a little bit better in relief duty. So I would expect that the Pats are going to give Zappe a chance to start. Not that it's really going to matter that much, but Douglas, he can continue to be a volume dependent wide receiver 3 flex for fantasy, albeit one with a pretty low ceiling. George Pickens, he went down. He seemed to be hurt at one point. He returned to the game though, so that's good. Quentin Johnston on the Chargers, he left, and I thought he was getting checked out by the medical staff, but Brandon Staley said that it was his decision to sit Johnston, and I get it. I mean, the rookie just, he clearly hasn't been ready for this big opportunity that they've had to thrust him into, and it's not a great sign for his NFL future. He's definitely somebody that you're going to drop in redraft if you haven't already, and you're hoping that Josh Palmer can return soon and maybe give the Chargers another competent receiver across from Keenan Allen. But Johnston will hold out some hope in Dynasty that maybe he can bring it all together, but right now it's not a great start to his career. We also had Laviska Shenault leave the Panthers game. He was dealing with an ankle issue. He did come back into the game, but that's nowhere near the most exciting Panthers news, right? They fired Frank Reich, their head coach, and usually when a coach gets fired, I would dedicate like a whole segment to it on the show, but I don't really see this changing anything. I don't think Reich was the biggest problem for Carolina. The coaching, the coordinating, sure, it hasn't been good, but they also just lack talent at so many spots on that roster. They need another offseason here where they can try to fill some of those holes and try to build around Bryce Young a little bit with some better coaching and some better players. And sadly, I mean, they don't have the draft capital that you normally would as a last place team because they traded up to get Young. So it's kind of just a brutal situation for Carolina and one that you don't really want to mess around with for fantasy if you can avoid it right now. I mean, Adam Thielen, he's a wide receiver 3. Jonathan Mingo, a flex and good matchup, somebody that, you know, as a rookie, you hope that he can come on as the season goes along here. Chuba Hubbard, an RB3 based on the way they're using him, but pretty low upside for that offense all around. Continuing with the injuries, though, I don't want to do a whole segment on the Panthers. Travis Etienne, so he was taken to the locker room. He got his chest checked out. Fortunately, he returned to the game, but don't be surprised if he misses some practice this week or if he's limited potentially in those practices. I'm expecting that he's going to be able to play in week 13, though. Still, it's another reason why you should be stashing D'Ernest Johnson. I mentioned him as a stash and start, sit, stash, quit last week. He's past Tank Bigsby as the backup to roster in Jacksonville, so he's a guy that you might want to get onto your bench down the stretch here. Javonte Williams, he left with a neck injury on Sunday. He was able to return. Didn't seem any worse for wear, so no concerns with him. Tajay Spears, he took a huge hit. It was a pass that Will Levis sort of lobbed up, and Derrick Henry was furious. I mean, he got out there. He was in the Panthers defenders' faces. He was letting them know what he thought about it. The Titans were not happy, but Spears came back into the game, so all good there. Jamal Williams on the Saints, he injured his arm. Now, I believe, I couldn't find an update on this, but I know he left. I know he was kind of like shaking his arm before he went to the medical tent, so we'll need to watch and see if he's available for New Orleans next week. And their other backup, I mean, Kendre Miller, he's been out with an injury too, so just more reason why we might see another big dose of Alvin Kamara in week 13. Remember when we had some injuries earlier in the season, Kamara was just getting those massive workloads. For quarterbacks who got injured, so Justin Herbert, he left briefly, he went to the medical tent, didn't miss any time, not worried about him. Baker Mayfield, he left with an ankle injury. He did miss a little bit of time, but he came back. He was able to play through it. Todd Bowles said that the MRI was negative today, so he's sore, but we'll have to monitor it this week. We don't know for sure that he's going to miss any time. It's definitely possible that he could play through it. Kyle Trask would be a downgrade, though. We saw him come into that game briefly. I don't think Kyle Trask is going to be able to maintain that offense the way Baker Mayfield has this season, so we would have to bump the skill position player down if Baker misses any time. But once again, that is not a guarantee right now. It's just something we're going to have to watch throughout the week. Dorian Thompson-Robinson on the Browns, he took a huge hit near his own goal line. He got placed in the concussion protocol. He was also bleeding from his mouth. It might have just been a bloody lip, but it didn't look great by any means. And his status is in doubt now. And if he can't go, We're likely going to see PJ Walker under center like we did earlier in the season. But remember, Joe Flacco is on the practice squad now, so don't be surprised if Joe gets the nod there. Either way, though, it's not going to change much for the Browns fantasy-wise. So that should really do it for injuries. I think that covers it. There really wasn't any other ones that I think we need to mention here. So let's jump into the top waiver ads for week 13. And I'm still saying this 13 weeks into the season, but if you're in deeper leagues or if you just want to see more options, you can read my full waiver wire column that goes up. It's got like 50 to 70 players listed in there. It's got them all broken down into categories for how I'm valuing them this week. And of course, you can go see that at The Score every single Monday night. It goes up normally just before the Monday nighter, sometimes by halftime, but it's definitely up every week on Monday night. All right, let's start with the quarterbacks here. So we have three guys who are over that 50% rostered mark, so they're probably not available in your league, but you want to look for them before you add any of these other guys that I'm going to talk about, because they would be much better ads than the other options. The streamers this week, they're not great. It's not going to be exciting at all, but if Russell Wilson or Jordan Love, or if he's healthy, if Baker Mayfield, if those guys are available, that's who I'd be targeting this week before the rest of these names on the streamer list. And that's because, like I said, these options, I mean, Gardner Minshew might be the best of the bunch. He's 16% rostered. He's on the road in Tennessee. That's a positive matchup for quarterbacks. And Minshew did come in for an injured Anthony Richardson the last time these two teams played. And Minshew completed 11 of his 14 passes, had 155 yards, played around 60% of the snaps. I don't mind him here. You know, the Colts play pretty quick, so because of that pace, they tend to get a lot of volume in the offense, and the way to attack the Titans is through the air, so Minshew is a streamer, just not one that I'm overly excited about. Kenny Pickett, you know, after the OC change, he had his best passing day of the season. He threw for 278 yards versus the Bengals. Now he gets a top 10 matchup against the Cardinals. They just gave up four touchdowns to Matthew Stafford, so Pickett is an option this week. Not my favorite, but none of these quarterbacks are this week. I mentioned Stafford having that big game. We could put him in here too. He's just under the 50% rostered mark. He's 48% rostered, but he gets Cleveland's defense in week 13, so makes it kind of hard to love him. And the Browns do have some injuries, and that could change things a little bit. We'll see if Denzel Ward or if Myles Garrett, if they're available for this game. If both those guys were out, then Stafford would move up potentially to the top of this streamer list. Another one you could consider is Derek Carr facing the Lions, but that's going to come down to whether Chris Olave can play or not. You know, we expect that Shaheed's going to be out. The Saints being so shorthanded, it kind of takes Carr off the streamer list, but if Olave can somehow get cleared for this game, then Carr is a guy that you could potentially play after all those other names that I mentioned. After that, man, it gets so ugly, but I'll mention, you know, the Patriots quarterback situation. You know, if you're looking at two quarterback or super flex leagues, Bailey Zappe, he could be a spot starter there if you're desperate. And then in those like really, really crazy deep leagues, like my 14 team, 34 man super flex dynasty league, you could try to get ahead of people. You could go grab Joe Flacco just in case he gets the nod for the Browns, or Trevor Siemian for the Jets. I mean, it seems like it's just going to be a matter of time here before they try somebody else. Tim Boyle, he's starting again this week, but if he struggles, Siemian has to get a shot. And I think Siemian might be the best of the bunch on that depth chart, but that's really not saying much. Moving on to running back. So guys who are above the 50% rostered mark, who you should try to get if they're available, Tyler Allgeier on the Falcons. He's a flex option and a guy with just major upside if Bijan Robinson gets hurt. I've talked about the Falcons schedule during the fantasy playoffs. If somehow Allgeier is the starter during those games, he could be a league winner. Ty Chandler, he's playing tonight on Monday Night Football, and he's likely going to continue to take more work away from Alexander Mattison. The reports are that Madison's going to get the start, so I don't know if Chandler will completely overtake him this week. Probably will still be a committee, but Chandler has been the far more impressive back lately and somebody that needs to be rostered everywhere. Antonio Gibson, he's a flex play in that Commanders offense that, let's face it, they're often trailing. That gets Gibson a little more work. Zach Moss, who got back into the mix for the Colts this week, and Shane Steichen, his head coach, said that he liked having that 1-2 punch back, so Moss could kind of be like Allgeier, where he's a flex guy and someone who's an injury away from potentially being a fantasy star again. And then after that, there almost wasn't anyone worth writing up for the column, at least like the main spot in the column this week, but I'll go with Jeff Wilson. And this is really dependent on Devon Achane being out again. If Achane's able to return, then Wilson gets relegated to number three duties, and that's not really going to produce much for fantasy. He would just be somebody that you'd leave on your bench. However, if Achane misses another game, we saw that Wilson can step up. We saw that he can produce in this offense. 14 touches, 73 yards on Sunday, and the good matchups, they keep coming for Miami here. So Wilson, definitely worth an add, but the amount that you're bidding to get him, that's going to change wildly depending on what we hear about Achane over the next 24, 48 hours or so if we get an update on his health for this week. Other than that, it's really just flex types like Samaje Perine on the Broncos, Rico Dowdle on the Cowboys. We might even be able to sneak Ezekiel Elliott and D'Ernest Johnson into that category. They're sort of like maybe just a little bit of a tier below, but they kind of qualify for that same group. Or you could look at high upside backups like Elijah Mitchell, like Tajay Spears, who feels like we talk about them every week. But it's getting really thin on the waiver wire for running backs. And when we don't have a big injury, there really aren't that many starters emerging this time of year. There are some guys who are going to be on bye. I should mention these guys. There's some guys who are going to be on bye in week 13 that I think you could stash, like Roschon Johnson, who plays on Monday night. So assuming that he's healthy, he's a guy that you could look at on the waiver wire. Latavius Murray, Leonard Fournette on the Bills, Zamir White on the Raiders. I've mentioned him as a stash before. Raiders have a good schedule down the stretch. And if Josh Jacobs went down, White would get his chance to shine. For receivers, all right, we got this 50% rostered crew, the guys that are above that. So Jaden Reed, Brandon Cooks, Josh Downs, and Odell Beckham. After that, Curtis Samuel looks like he's healthy again here. He played his highest snap count since week 7. That was before he got banged up. And earlier this year, he had at least 50 yards and or a touchdown in 5 of his first 6 games. Then he got hurt. He missed a game. He played reduced snaps in his first couple weeks back from that. And his production obviously had suffered, but then on Thanksgiving, we saw his best game of the season. 12 targets, 9 catches, 100 yards. He's a very interesting player when healthy and a solid flex option too. So he's somebody that I would try to get. Demario Douglas, we got to check on his health, of course, but if that neck issue's all right, then he'll be a quality flex too. Doesn't have the upside that you might want, but you have to respond to the volume that he's getting, right? 9 targets in each of the last 2 weeks, 7 targets per contest in the 2 games before that. He's got stat lines of 4 for 54 and 5 for 55, 6 for 84, 6 for 49. All those came pretty recently in the last 5 or 6 weeks. So Douglas, if healthy, he is a worthy pickup. Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman on the Browns. And this is if Amari Cooper misses time. But if Cooper's out, I said it earlier, Moore becomes a wide receiver 4 flex. Cedric Tillman would be in the flex mix too, especially if Joe Flacco starts, right? PJ Walker, he's decent, but Flacco, he's got the arm to make life easier on his receivers. And we saw that with the Jets last season. Joe can still sling it. I mentioned the Saints situation. I don't love it, but if you were going to play someone, assuming that Olave and Shahid were out this week, A.T. Perry would be the guy that I would pick up there. Some other wideouts that I'll highlight, I mean, young guys like Jameson Williams and Jonathan Mingo, they've had some moments, might see them come on in the final, 5 or 6 weeks of the season here. Just deeper flex options or better off as stashes on your roster until they actually have big games. Some veterans who could be spot starters in your lineup, Devontae Parker, Zay Jones, don't feel good about starting them, but they can pop up for a game here and there. Some injured guys that I think could be interesting if they're healthy this week or when they do get healthy. Michael Wilson on the Cardinals, Josh Palmer on the Chargers, Noah Brown on the Texans. They've all produced at times this year, and when they're healthy, I'll be projecting them to do that again. So they're in the flex conversation. And if Michael Wilson's out again, if he doesn't play, Greg Dorsch, he's the one that would usually take his place. He's produced the last couple weeks. So bye week stashes too at receiver. I mean, Khalil Shakir had another quality game this week. Jalin Hyatt, who had kind of a breakout potentially in week 12, right? The Giants rookie went 5 for 109 versus the Patriots. So a couple more guys there that you could potentially stash or maybe get into your lineup as flexes. At tight end, I got to fall on the sword for this one because I put Pat Freiermuth in the quit section last week. Start, sit, stash, quit. I do so well with the stashes. Sometimes with the quits, I make mistakes, and here is certainly one of them. Freiermuth, I know he produced in past years. This season, he wasn't doing anything. The most targets that he had in a game this year before this was 4, and then this week he comes out and gets 11 targets. And we had reports before the game that George Pickens and Jaylen Warren, that they were going to be featured more after the Matt Canada firing. Turns out now Freiermuth was the star in that game. He just carved up the Bengals over the middle, turned that into 9 catches for 120 yards. And yes, the Bengals, it's an easier matchup for tight ends, so that does factor in here. But Freiermuth, certainly somebody that needs to be rostered. And I apologize to anybody that dropped him based on me listing him in that section last week. I didn't expect him to suddenly have a career day after doing absolutely nothing all season. That one's on me. And at this point in the year, I mean, there aren't many quality fantasy starters out there on the waiver wire. Freiermuth, obviously the top pickup here, and a guy that you might even want to spend a little bit to get if you're that needy at tight end. And, you know, it's unlikely he's going to keep up this kind of production, but doesn't take much to crack the low-end tight end one ranks, and Freiermuth right back in that range now is a high-end tight end two and a guy that has tight end one upside if they feature him this much. We also saw Tyler Higbee. He bounced back after some down weeks, only 5 catches for 29 yards, but 2 of them were touchdowns. We know he has that in his bag, and he nearly had a third touchdown in this game too. So Higbee, he is back as a streamer, just a tight end or bust guy, but certainly somebody that you could look to when we have this many guys out this week. Gerald Everett, he looked healthy. I mean, he found the end zone in this game. I wasn't sure how he'd do coming off the injury. He was fine. He's back in the streamer mix. Cade Otton on the Bucks, he has over 40 yards in 4 of his last 6 games. That's enough to make him a quality streamer. Juwan Johnson on the Saints, he's going to benefit from all these receiver injuries in New Orleans. He's a guy that we've seen get streaky before as well for fantasy, and he had a season-high 7 targets this week. I think that's worth chasing if all these other tight ends that I mentioned are taken. So a decent amount of players available at tight end. Not every week's like that, but this week I think there are some good options out there for you. And then for defenses, I actually don't mind these either. I mean, the Buccaneers, they get Bryce Young and the Panthers. And if you're worried about, you know, Frank Reich's firing kind of inspiring some sort of big performance from Carolina, I'm not. I mean, like I said, I don't think that Reich was the problem. And when you look at a team like the Steelers and letting go their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, and then the team kind of responding this week, you had players in Pittsburgh calling out Canada, right? For the Panthers, I think it's a bunch of things. You know, they're not just going to be fixed by them firing some coaches in season. I don't think that's going to do it. So I wouldn't hesitate to use the Bucs D against the Panthers. The same problems that have been there, they're going to continue. The Falcons, they take on the imploding Jets offense. Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian, whoever's out there, they're going to struggle behind that offensive line. So Atlanta's a good play. The Jaguars D, they get Jake Browning and the Bengals. The Rams are going to face PJ Walker, Joe Flacco. The Chargers, Bailey Zappe, or maybe they go back to Mac Jones. But those are all defenses that you could stream this week. You want to attack those situations where you're going to have these backup quarterbacks playing. But that is all for today's show. Make sure you check out that full Week 13 waiver wire column over on The Score on Monday night. I'll be back Wednesday with another episode. But until then, big thanks for downloading and subscribing. Big thanks to all of you for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, I said leave on time.